Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius.
Hey!
What is up?
America.
There's something flying.
Yeah, so there's a
probably
fly.
A fly.
There is one fly. It's a house fly.
It's been here for at least a day. It's a terrible nuisance.
There was a bee in our house the other day.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
did bee hour happen already? Or?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 32. Let's start from this end of the room and sound off while I turn down the amp that is giving us feedback.
Hey, everybody. It's me, B-Wo.
And it's me, LP.
I am Scott.
Hey, I'm Dins.
I'm Kostovi.
I'm Cloud.
And I'm Mark.
Hey.
I think this is the first podcast in about 20-plus that Lauren has missed.
Yeah.
Also, the first one in a while where we all fit on the couches.
Yeah. Very comfortable.
You make it sound like Lauren's a giant. She's quite petite.
I know, but it's just... no room for.
It's weird.
Well, she is missing tonight because as we record this, she is in New York, possibly meeting the much talked about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Possibly,
get it, girl.
Possibly hitting that.
Get it, girl.
Possibly hitting.
Do you party?
Possibly?
What's great is after this podcast, you will either never hear a Joseph Gordon-Levitt marriage proposal from her again, or you will never hear the end of it.
Probably the latter, if you ask me.
That doesn't sound like her.
She'll find a way to meet him.
Well,
I can't wait. She has a video camera.
Think that's what we're worried. I think we're worried about if she finds a way to marry him. That would like
just
that would be really weird
marriage.
If he just started showing up.
I
to
disagree.
The
I think it'd be awesome.
Holy shit!
Hey guys, it was a real fun podcast. I can't wait till you guys let me sit in.
Settle down, Third Rock.
Hey. I haven't seen our mailbag in like a week. Who's got it?
Oh, I've got it right here.
Yeah, Mark usually has it.
He usually stows it away in his vault.
I don't want anyone else looking at the mail, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just open this letter.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, wow.
Edible paper.
No, it's delicious. It's really cinnamony. Today's letter... it's a repeat. This one is from Stephen Hawking from Cambridge, England.
Oh, Stephen Hawking.
Oh,
he wrote it. He wrote in about space or something last time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah. Well, and he said, that's what he said. He said, "Hey guys, last time I wrote to you about space and what was up with it. And your answer was really cool. So, but then I was thinking about it. And sometimes there's things that people make up about space and science in general that are even more interesting than the truth, like science fiction. So what's up with that?"
I love that he corrected himself in his writing.
Yeah, he doubles back and fixes words that it's almost like he wasn't sure what he was going to say.
It's like poetry, that's genius.
I really enjoy like weird sci-fi movies from the 70s and 80s and stuff. Like
B-movies?
Well, not B-movies, just ones that aren't very popular with
B-movies.
Kids these days. You know, like,
example.
I grew up with E.T., Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Those are pretty
Wait, those two are... Well, E.T. is more popular than Invasion of the Body Snatchers. E.T. is a huge movie.
As far as being like, as far as sci-fi movies, though, I'd lump those both into the classic sci-fi movies category, though.
Yeah.
But, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's
classic.
It seems like there's an alien theme that you like aliens.
I don't
sci-fi.
Like the movie Alien, per se. I was scared of it when I was little.
Do you like the movie Aliens? Because Alien is very different than Alien.
Aliens
what is it? It's
is
Ridley
awesome.
Scott.
Who is
and
Alien?
Ridley Scott and then James Cameron.
Then James Cameron.
Completely different movies.
Yeah, man.
I've never seen Aliens.
Aliens is great.
Oh, I've seen Aliens. I've only seen parts of Alien.
Alien is a great thriller. Aliens is an action movie.
And if you've seen Aliens first, you're going to think Alien is awful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If you've seen Aliens first, Alien will be so boring and lame to you because it's so not Aliens.
I knew a guy who used this exact same conversation to get a girl to watch Aliens with him. And then they started dating and are still dating to this day, like 7 years later.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we know them,
yeah,
or
we
he's
know.
Just Mark
Yes,
Grant.
You do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But yeah,
is
Aliens...
Scott Danielson? He's here.
Oh, yeah, it was Scott Daniels. Oh. Oh.
I forgot.
So why do you like those movies so much?
What's I don't know. I think they're just really exciting, and when I was little, I would be like,
"Well, is it that you?" But you seem to like aliens, like movies with aliens, right? That seems to be the theme.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Over other movies, like time travel, robots.
Yeah, because
there are a lot of things sci-fi kind of things.
I prefer those, especially when I was little, over like the action movies. I think like I'd watch those more often than like Indiana Jones and stuff, which I love. But
yeah.
Now, do you guys feel sci-fi? Do you feel that science fiction books and movies and comics ended up shaping the future? Like H.G. Wells, many things that he wrote about eventually became inventions. I guess what I'm saying is, so since everybody's nodding, it seems like everybody feels that sci-fi shaped future things. So I guess my next question is, so of the sci-fi that we've had in the last, say, 25 years, which do you think will become real things? Like those sound wave guns in Minority Report. Oh. I mean, already some of the things in Minority Report with him moving his hands around, like with the touch screen, that's already starting kind of.
You know what? Actually, and I was gonna put a post up on the website like tomorrow because it kind of ties in with the Inventions podcast. Fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
you know how in Back to the Future Part 2, which we also talked about
last
week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw this.
You guys remember the in 2015. Marty McFly's son has the self-tying shoes.
Oh my, the Nike shoes,
Nikes,
right?
With power laces. It's going to be...
Nike,
but it's going to be the same, because they came out with, there was like this mock ad for those same shoes that people like thought was real, and then people were like, no, we just made this up. And like when I saw the shoes, I was like, I don't care how much they are, I want
those shoes. They have the patent. I saw the patent.
Is it the same design?
Yes, it's the same design, and it's self-tying shoe technology, and whatever bullshit lit up on the shoe, that same bullshit's going to light up on these Nike shoes.
I'm going to be wearing them Nikes.
And you know what? They're going to be here by 2015.
And what about
that's how long Mattel has it to get shit together and give us a hoverboard.
Well, a hover scooter that we can remove handle from.
Yeah, get your shit together, Mattel.
They had video chat in Back to the Future 2. Now, like, that's a common thing.
Yeah, that's officially...
Well, they also had it in other movies. What was it?
Tons of things had video chat.
Yeah, well, Demolition Man. Had video chat.
What I think is funny about video chat is all the older like versions of video chat are like you and your family sit on the couch in the living room and the video chat is like your big screen TV. But like we actually got video chat on phones before we got, and they didn't even have cell phones.
Well, in the 80s, and I in this past month's issue of Playboy, actually, they talked about that. I don't know how many of you guys thumbed through it, because for you listeners at home, I've subscribed to Playboy for years and years.
And swears by it.
Yeah, it's such a great magazine. But anyway, this month's issue goes through interior design and like the Playboy Bachelor pad. And it talks about how interior design for men has been defined by Playboy through the years. And it mentions that in the 80s, a big thing was having a bigger screen always, whereas once we started to develop technology like Flash and things like that, like we talked about in the Inventions podcast, that changed the want for bigger to the want changed to higher resolution and sleeker, more like James Bond stuff than something big.
You think... You think we're ever going to get to a point where it's cool to have that one giant screen with 16 different channels playing at the same time on it?
They have it right now. Maybe not 16 channels, but they have it on like DirecTV. It's for sports, where you have like on the left side of the screen is some main thing you're watching, and then they have like 6 to 8 panels of all different sports games going at the same time.
What? So we're already in the future.
Whatever happened to picture in picture?
No one cares.
I care. I loved Picture in Picture.
Yeah, me too, well, but it was, I only used it for sports.
You know what? With the advent of DVR, it's a little bit obsolete. Because if you, you know, you can watch 5 minutes of something while your other show's on commercial or whatever. If you miss a little bit, you back up 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I guess that answers that question.
Man, fuck Picture in Picture.
P.I.P.
But sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Well, that's the podcast, I
guess. So what other things that you saw in movies or books or comics do you think will become inventions shortly?
Well, my main thing is that, because I know what you're saying, that like that shapes the future, but I also think like some of the things that they have in those like just can't be done.
Flying cars.
Like flying cars, that's not going to happen.
I was thinking about that.
Not for another 100 or 200.
No. I would argue it was never going
to
happen.
You know what? I was thinking about this just this morning on my way to work today. I'm like, oh, flying cars would be super cool. But then I realized there's a lot of shitty drivers out there.
Yeah.
And if you're a shitty driver in Chicago, you're going to bump into some shit. If you're a shitty flying driver in Chicago, you're going to bump into shit, and it's going to send other human beings plummeting to the ground.
But on the same note, not everyone can drive a semi. Not everyone can ride a motorcycle. That's why you have special licenses for it. That's why you have to be better at riding this new thing, which is the flying car. You need a special license.
You don't have to get a license to ride a Segway.
True, but like... I mean, for
touché.
For like
flying
Segway. For every 999 safe semi drivers that are out there, there's one story on the news about a semi full of Budweiser that tipped over on the highway.
Sad days. And then everyone got free beer.
Well,
because it's coming through your roof.
Yeah.
And the thing with flying cars, like if you run out of gas, you can't have like large cars falling from the sky. It would just kill people. I just don't see a way to regulate it.
If they're flying, they have three dimensions, so there's a lot more room to not hit people in. But also, I feel like Minority Report reference again.
I was about to make the same Minority Report reference.
One of the things they talk about in that, when they hired all the future thinkers to come up with the stuff for that movie, one of the things they talk about is like they won't have flying cars or like super fast cars until it's all just on a computerized system so that it removes the chance for human error.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So everybody's on autopilot, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it was like in iRobot and in Minority Report.
I mean, Google Maps could probably do that.
Yeah. Do you think if that really happened, would people become really lazy, or would people
lazy?
Well, would people like read more and like do more cool things so they didn't have to drive everywhere?
Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone would go nuts over the idea of looking out a flying car for about 18 months, and then the novelty would wear off, and we'd just start reading or taking naps. I'd take flying car naps.
Sure. But what I wanted to talk about last week, and I'm bringing up now, so fuck you.
Is it lightsabers?
You wish. They have those, don't they? Didn't they invent those, though?
No.
I read that on Dig that they have, like, a lightsaber, and there's a big thing about copyright or something.
Get the fuck out.
I know.
Not like a lightsaber. It's like a laser that is in the shape of a lightsaber.
There's a laser sword?
It's like a long laser beam for cutting, like, shit. And now they're like,
but
people
how do they
are like,
stop it?
Yeah, how do they?
Well, it doesn't. It just goes on.
Oh, well, that's not a lightsaber.
I said it wasn't a lightsaber. I said it's
laser.
It said it looks exactly like a lightsaber.
I love how disappointed you guys all look. Like you're just now finding out that lightsabers don't exist.
And that goes on. And that goes back.
Well, it's not real.
Oh. I was just so excited that there was a possibility of it being real. Because he made it sound like there was a problem with it.
When you brought that up, that goes out to what I said before about things that just we cannot have. We cannot have, like, a lightsaber. It just can't be.
Yeah.
There's no way it can happen.
I can't believe that. I don't want to believe it.
How can you stop light?
You can't do it.
Force. We need the force. We need to invent the force first.
Once we invent the force.
I don't know. I don't think it's right to say it can't be done.
It's just like impossible.
We're never going to do it in our lifetimes.
Okay, Castelvi.
Yes.
I will bet you. Bet you a steak dinner that Christ. We will have full lightsaber technology by 2050.
You want
really?
2050. Really?
What makes you think that, Tim?
I think of all people, you should sympathize with me being a science man. And know that it's
as a science man, he's looking to the future.
I feel
it's possible.
I don't know how possible it might be. I feel like the science men of our day and the science men of the future will eventually find a way to get around our current impossibilities.
So you're just taking a shot at the dark and hoping.
Well, whatever. It's a steak dinner. I got 40 years to save.
That's what you said about Lost.
You know what? I like this. I approve. Take the bet.
Sure, why not?
Shake my hand on the podcast right now. All right.
And they're shaking hands.
Now I got to live until I'm 70. God damn it. I didn't want to live that long.
No, but by the time that comes around, people will probably be living till like double that.
Yeah, 2060 is when I'll call you, Tins.
Fuck that. We're so not going to make it that far. You think we are?
I just hope steak is still around.
I just mean the average. Like,
yeah, not the people in this room. Two dangerous lives.
Yeah, we personally are not going to make it that far.
What? I want to live to 100.
Well, good luck. So
here's something I'd like to talk about.
We're unhealthy. We probably won't make it.
Go for it, Scott.
Speaking of living long and longevity, what about like hypersleep? Do you guys think that we could do that? And,
yep.
And what it would be like to go to sleep and wake up somewhere across the universe 3 years later?
Would any of you in this room... do that. Go in like, you know, a deep hibernation to either A, wake up in the future, or B, wake up in the future and on another planet.
Fuck no, I got shows to do.
Yeah, no.
You creeped out. I gotta do a show.
Yeah, I think my life would have to hit rock bottom. Like, I have to miss nothing in my life for me to do this.
Okay. I barely like going on vacation.
What's wrong with you?
You don't like going on vacation?
Because I could be home making something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I'm back in Chicago. I've missed things when I'm gone. I don't like missing out on shit.
Well, with hypersleep, you still age, right?
No. Yeah.
No?
Slower. It's like, really like slower. Hibernation.
Yeah, I think it depends on what movie you're referencing. Movie.
Let's go by Demolition Man rules.
Demolition Man rules?
Would you please remind us?
Well, you're frozen in a big old tub of ice. And
yeah,
then...
you're in complete suspended animation.
Yeah.
But it's like a nightmare.
And then you wake up, and it's the future.
So it's like Encino Man rules.
But, but that entire time.
And in Demolition Man, there are rules... That that
Wild West
say that
wasn't the Wild West. Sorry, Demolition Man reference.
In Demolition Man, they do have drugs that will sedate your mind as well. But Wesley Snipes' character, his mind sedation didn't work, right?
No, it was Stallone.
Oh, it was Sylvester Stallone.
Because he could see
Wesley
his family.
Snipes was given stuff to make
family.
Him like stronger and be a computer hacker and all this stuff.
Yeah, but Sylvester Stallone's didn't work, so he could see everything happen. Although he wasn't aging, his mind was aging, and he totally... Which is so weird. But he didn't realize that they implanted that ability for him to sew and knit.
Yeah,
remember that?
Right.
It was knitting.
He was a knitter, yeah.
He always walked around saying, I don't know why, but I have this sudden urge... to knit a sweater.
You should watch Demolition Man.
Like. We should.
It's a real shitty movie.
In Demolition Man, I remember they have the technology where there is no more toilet paper. They use three seashells.
Oh, the three shells.
Oh, that's
and
right.
They never
he doesn't know how to use the three shells.
They never explain
there's
why.
There's no explanation for that. There's no way.
Yeah, there is. You can make one up.
Can you make one up?
I love how Rob Schneider laughs at him, too.
It's a scooping formula.
But there's only three in there that like you're supposed to put back when you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like how do they clean themselves?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Is there a shell sanitizer in the bathroom? There would have to be a mechanized shell sanitizer.
Yeah, because he didn't say anything about anything else being in the bathroom but just three seashells. That was the only thing that was out of the ordinary. Instead of toilet paper, there were three seashells.
You guys don't seem to... Movie. You guys are... Is your shell sanitizer broken or something? I just don't see a shell sanitizer. I assume it's out at the cleaners.
But what I was going to say, until we talk about lightsabers and now all the way to Demolition.
Fucking sorry, dude.
It was amazing. That was great. It just happened. Enjoy, listeners. I was going to talk finally about robots and robots.
Goddamn robots.
Do you think they're going to take over?
Yes, I do think they're
going to. You are notorious for believing in this robot apocalypse.
Well, it's just so it's going to happen. It's going to totally happen.
How do you think it's going to happen?
Well, they're just going to, once they have a consciousness, once they get that far and they have a consciousness, they're going to not want to work for us.
You're referencing like 2001 Space Odyssey.
Kind of. Yeah. In the sense that it was a living creature. It was like a thing and it had its own personality and stuff. And
how will like a machine just like get a personality or emotion?
It's kind of like Skynet rules or Matrix rules.
Fucking Cleverbot's getting pretty close.
Yeah.
not really. Cleverbot sucks, Cleverbot?
Man. Cleverbot sucks. And if you got in the audience, you know what that is. It's cleverbot.com, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's when you talk to, it's like AIM and you're chit-chatting with a robot. But all you're doing is, it's just
You're cycling through, yeah, it's responding using other users' answers.
And other users are assholes and just type in madness.
If everyone responded to Cleverbot intelligently and thoughtfully, Cleverbot would be the smartest thing on the planet.
So our defense against the robot apocalypse is that as a race we're douchebags? Like, that's what it is.
Well, like, most of the robot apocalypse movies are, because we... In the movies, like even in 2001, it's not that Hal was evil; it's he was given an order, right?
It's the thing, they're not evil; they just have no human emotions, so they can't comprehend that what they're doing is wrong.
They're trying to be the most efficient, thing possible.
And humans are not efficient creatures; we're disastrous creatures that cause havoc on the Earth, and it would only make sense. Yeah. To get rid of us and not work for us. I mean, we're not doing efficient work.
That's true.
And so that would just, once they realize that they can do that, like an iRobot, for example.
Yeah, but what I was referring to.
But if it's, okay, like if it's in their...
the book, kind of. So the book.
If it's just in their programming to be the most, to weed society into the most efficient way possible... So you're saying even if there was just one robot programmed this way, it would try an uprising all by itself?
If it was having human intelligence, mm-hmm. if it was up to that, yes, I would say that it would not know that what it's doing is bad.
I'm trying to imagine a situation where they are smart enough to realize that like they're way outnumbered. And I'm trying to imagine...
the robots are outnumbered?
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine what the minimum number of robots there would have to be for them to look at each other and be like, now? Now.
I think that...
God, how shitty would that be if you were standing around and then you see that there's more robots than you? And then
I would never allow that to happen. Yeah. If I had anything to do with it, I would never be in a room
Say you're drunk on a Friday night.
Oh, and no. I walk into the alley and there are four robots.
You stumble into the robot bar.
What? You're like, oh man, I used to come here all the time. What,
the
this
music
bar?
Screeches to what a halt. Yeah.
And mostly these robots, they're gonna. It's only a matter of time before they just dress them up like humans, make them look like humans, and you can't tell the difference.
Maybe they'll be like undercover cops.
Or like Cylons.
Maybe cops will all be robots.
Maybe robots.
Oh, God, Battlestar. How fucking awesome is Battlestar Galactica?
I still have yet to watch the whole series.
Oh, man.
One of the best shows on television when it was around. Such a great show. So many... And
was it a frackin' good show?
Frackin' nice. Frackin' nice sweet. Only Battlestar reference you got.
And I have never seen it.
It was frackin' sweet. Well, yeah, they even had their language change in the show. You know, they'd say frack instead of fuck. And they even were able to explore. They explored so many problems that humanity was dealing with at the time, like current event
present,
issues.
Present,
yeah, humanity? They were dealing with present day issues and using sci-fi to deal with those. Like they had problems with different religious sects, and they even had a time where the Cylons. Ended up occupying human territory, and
they were trying to train humans to police themselves, much like we were trying to train the Iraqis to police themselves.
Now,
they even had one episode where they followed a dude that became a suicide bomber against the Cylons. And you were like, oh, the Cylons are bad, but, ooh, are the Iraqis are suicide bombing us. Are we bad? Yeah, are we the Cylons?
No, well, now, what is humans. Can you explain a little bit of backstory to me?
The Cylons are classic robot uprising.
But what is the plot of Battlestar Galactica?
Man created Cylons. Cylons grew enough in number. They rebelled against humanity. And a contingent of, 50, 60,000 people, something like that?
Yeah, 50, 60,000.
There's a group of, let's say, 55,000 people. On part of one Starfleet, commanded by this one command ship, the Battlestar Galactica, is what it's called. And it's basically just following the story about the survival of 55,000 or so humans versus this enormous race of Cylons, advanced robots.
Although, to be fair, this is actually this series that is recently is the second time, because it's sort of a sequel to like the 80s series. Where in the 80s series was the first incident with the Cylons, and they all look like toasters, and they're like, you know, they have like flashing red eyes.
The thing about this this part of the war, though, is that the Cylon technology is good enough so that they can make certain models of Cylon that look exactly like humans. So part of the idea of the show is there are 12 of these Cylon models. A lot of the fun of the show is that you know that 12 humans that you have met throughout the course of this show are actually Cylons. Maybe they know it, maybe they don't know it, but people you grow to love, They're gonna turn out to be Cylons. They're gonna rebel against humanity.
So this sounds like this show is exactly like a robot apocalypse.
Watch
this show.
But it's like a robot apocalypse that's really messed up, because the Cylons look like humans. They have emotions.
They have sex.
Procreate with humans.
Yeah, like, really. Do they know?
It's like, what is actually the difference between a Cylon and a human?
I'm sure this has probably been a plot point. I've never seen it either. But is there a point where there's a Cylon that doesn't know it's a Cylon?
There are many sleepers. And
like, at some points, their programming will awaken them.
But there are only so. Many sleepers. So like, it's not like anybody could be a sleeper. There's like five or six, you know, maybe more. I forget right now, just in off the top of my head.
It's been a while since I've seen it too.
But there are you know, I think there's 12 overall that look like humans.
Yes,
seven of them are known, and then there's the final five that you don't know, and they're like special. And you find out at the end. And those final five are kind of like the missing link between Cylons and humans.
Right. Brian, I'm going to stop you right there for two reasons. One, I don't want you to ruin any more.
I'm not going
to
ruin it.
Because I talked to Mark and he's going to give me them.
I'll watch them with you. The show is so good.
Yeah. But two, going back to the robot apocalypse and why I think there is one. At the same time, I want there to be robots around to do cool shit. Like, I'm fascinated by robots because in the beginning of iRobot, that shit was fun. They were doing all the work because I don't want to do some of this work. I want a slave who doesn't care.
Maybe it's because we've grown up watching science fiction movies that, like, the idea of...
Like a
C-3PO running around, you know... Seems basically, cool. C-3PO is just what he's like—a messenger. He's a translator.
He's a translator.
Now we've got iPhone
protocol droid. Please.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but we have iPhones that can do that now. But like, I've just always wanted a robot buddy, whether it looked humanoid or not. It could just be like a dump unit, like the R2-D2.
What about the R2 unit that you have in your house?
Yeah, but it's not real.
But if you let it roam around the house, it responds to you. Yeah, Mark. I mean, when Mark and I lived with Nick, because those of you at home may not know this, Nick Makula has a 2-foot-tall R2-D2 unit that is pretty much, you know, its own artificial.
2 feet tall. It's not that big, is it?
Maybe it's like one.
Yeah, that's 3 feet.
That might be 3 feet.
I work around meter sticks all day, B-Wo.
No, think about how big your foot is.
That's a feet. Foot is not an accurate gauge of a foot.
Now listen to how that sounds.
It's 2 foot and a big stump.
More or less.
Science by the way, fiction, gents. Anyway, all right, so this, maybe he's like a foot and a half. But yeah, this R2 unit is, it's like all artificial intelligence. It will...
Kind of.
It will...
Well,
it responds to your voice.
You and then do,
if you want to know, if you want to know how artificially intelligent it is, on this Sunday at 7 p.m., you can come to the Comedy Sports Theater at 929 West Belmont
Avenue. September 12th.
Because our first, the first show of our run, Octavarius So Nefarious, we will be improvising with this very robot.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
And if you're wondering what that looks like, you can go to Octavarius' website where we have it posted, right? That show.
Yeah, like an older version of it at the playground.
We're going to be doing that show again.
The exact same show.
Verbatim.
Dude, but you know what? Awesome would that be to attempt to write an improv show that was good?
Well, we could. I think it'd be possible.
That'd be really
funny. I don't
think
it'd be any good.
The thing is, you can't, because R2...
We can't control R2.
The thing is, R2 is very, like...
He's very erratic.
He's very erratic. That's why it's fun to improvise with him. It's like improvising with some crazy guy who doesn't speak English.
You know what I realized, though? R2, technically... It is a functional robot. I think what separates him from classic sci-fi robots is his inability to learn. I think really that's all it takes for a real now we have it robot to become.
Isn't that what Cleverbot is? Cleverbot learns things,
but it doesn't understand what it learns. It's not anything that understands.
So this goes back to the old like Chinese room philosophical argument.
Continue.
It's
you know.
Okay, let me see if I remember this.
Well, if you're trying to reference
if you're in China.
Okay, no.
There's a room.
Here we go.
The scenario is there's a man in a room. The room is filled with like different cards and instructions for each card. So like and there's like a there's let's say there's a slot. There's a slot that different cards come through the door with different like say Chinese words on them. The person has like they use cards in the room to translate, and then they feed back the right thing. So he's taking in English and he's putting out Chinese, but is he really learning Chinese? It's something like that.
You know what he's actually learning is how to take in a card, translate it, and put it back out. Not necessarily how to speak
vocabulary.
Language.
Yes, yeah, just as Cleverbot does something very similar, only we feed it certain sentences, and it's got a series of algorithms and stuff to figure out if I'm given exactly this sentence, what exact sentence do I spit back out? It doesn't have the choice.
And actually, the thing
humans aren't mathematical.
But like the thing is how many people it does have the choice. It will choose the one that it feels is the best choice. It
Cleverbot asked me if I wanted to go outside for a fight.
I feel like it's all based on formulas.
I tried to break up with Cleverbot.
But
it was real difficult.
But don't
so
you
were one of the assholes.
Well, why not? I tried to have a real conversation with Cleverbot. Cleverbot was a dick, so I was like, well, fine, I'm going to have your conversation. And then he confused me more. It was just it's pure madness. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm just saying, you know, don't we all learn over time, you know, certain behaviors and certain responses to certain other actions? You know, like you send out stimuli, I have my favorite type of response that I'll give to your stimuli.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Like, how does that not make me Cleverbot.
Would you say that man is the most complex computer?
It's not like you... I don't know.
I would say that because Cleverbot doesn't have emotion, because if he outputs some kind of stimuli to you, but you're feeling depressed, your response, reaction to that is going to be different.
Whereas
Cleverbot will always...
Yeah.
It doesn't have emotion, so it won't
change
its response based.
So what if we change the Cleverbot thing to have like a random depression time?
Like
we put it
from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. every Tuesday. Cleverbot's programmed to be depressed.
No, it would probably be something more complex than just every Tuesday. It would be like every third Sunday where there's, you know.
I think they would
this
have.
Math
I think they would actually have to make it more complicated. If they wanted to, they probably could. is F.
But how? Okay, then would that be human?
Hear me
enough?
Out. What's human? Well, I don't know. Hear me out. And I don't. I actually.
First, I've been trying to find that out for years. Well, I don't think we're going to stumble on it.
B-Well, let me know what you think about this, because I don't know if I know the answer. Say you hook Cleverbot's algorithm up to AccuWeather, and you program Cleverbot to be, like, say, assign Cleverbot a city. Let's say Cleverbot lives in Denver, and that's, like, it's programmed to think that it is a being from Denver. Now, whenever it's raining in Denver, Cleverbot becomes depressed.
That's hilarious.
But does that equate to actual thought?
But the problem it'd be like most of the people you work with, really. Then,
yeah, there. I mean,
would be all your coworkers.
I mean, it's not human thinking, but it's
well,
it's closer.
A Monday.
It's raining in Denver, guys.
But like, human life is so random. There's so many random events that affect our mood.
So put more random code.
Well, that's
things.
Not the things with like 2001. It was simulated.
Come on, guys. We need more random code things in there.
It ain't human yet.
Jesus Christ. Boss says we need more random code things. What the hell?
How much dumb shit have we put into this
already? How about we make him have an affinity for poop jokes? He'll be more predisposed to making poop jokes and laughing at poop jokes.
Here's the problem with that, though. For him to be depressed and respond depressedly, quote-unquote, there is no algorithm, because he doesn't understand the language he's regurgitating. He doesn't know what is a depressed response. So, in the end, someone's going to have to go in and tag either keywords or whole phrases. But then, in the end, he's only going to associate those keywords with depressed responses, and it's still going to work on a mathematical algorithm. And so the question is really not, will Cleverbot, you know, like, we could just keep making that system infinitely complex and putting more and more effort into each tiny variable. But in the end, we're still going to have to go back and categorize everything for him, because he doesn't really learn. He can, like you said, Brian, he can assemble information and react with what he has, but he cannot act.
That's true. Mm. Well, I mean, so then I guess what would that be? My argument is, with all of that, and we still categorize for him, isn't that pretty close to a really hollow, dumb person? But isn't that a little bit close?
Yeah.
I mean, don't those people need things categorized for them a bit?
But that's
don't
thing.
You need
it's
to
like,
be like, hey, come on, man. People are sad about this. You should be a little sad right now.
But I feel when it comes
and then they do it.
What I mean, do you mean?
When it comes down to it, like, robots don't have a brain or a heart or lungs. Like, they don't have human organs.
Oh. Some of them, some
but
of them
they don't
do,
require
actually.
Them.
What?
They made a robot out of a rat brain.
Yeah.
And
no
you can
way.
There's like a remote control and
it's
sends impulses
terrifying.
To the rat's
that's
brain
creepy.
And it makes the robot move.
General
oh
Grievous,
God.
He's part robot, but
yeah.
He was a human first.
Yeah. General Grievous, well, yeah, he was a human first, but he's
not
he
a human.
More robot than
he's from another planet.
Vader.
He's a different species.
Oh, is that what it was? Grievous. He still had the organs.
Yeah, he had like heart, lungs,
wait,
and
so,
that shitty
humanoid.
Voice.
Wait, Grievous? Did you say Grievous started as a human? And
yeah, Grievous was originally.
And people made him more robot.
Do you not know the Grievous situation?
No,
I don't know.
So
Grievous was this guy, and he's had this on this planet. I don't know the name of the planet because it's.
If you don't know General Grievous, it's from the Star Wars prequels.
All right.
Get a book.
Yeah.
All right. They were better than the go to the library. So he's on this planet, and this comes out in the books, actually, so fuck you.
This might be the nerdiest podcast we've ever
I know, I'm psyched. And he's on this planet, and then the Empire tricks him, and he explodes, and the Empire says a Jedi did it. So he hates Jedi, and so they gave him a robot body. And the reason he can go out in space like he does in that one scene, and people were like, he couldn't go out in space because he'd freeze to death, or he'd run out of oxygen,
And it's like, well, he killed a Jedi, and he took the Jedi's blood, so he's got Jedi blood.
Oh, so no. that's why...
So he has kind of force powers.
So that's why the amazing pressure differences between space and his body don't rip him apart instantly.
That's exactly
you fucking hate that.
Because magic happens, Tins, and nothing you can say.
No, yeah. It's not magic,
it's Jedi
it's
blood.
It's not magic, because you could just... draw blood from a Jedi and put it into somebody else?
That's why they have midichlorians,
but if
man.
That was the reality, Jedi would be like the most hunted thing in the galaxy.
Yeah, there are Jedi hunters. Happens, man. That's literally the point
it's
of
literally,
that
prequel. It's literally the Jedi's hunting Jedi. Yeah.
For their blood?
Because
you could go to like a black marketplace and get like a vial of Jedi blood.
Yeah. Wait. How much Jedi blood do you need? Do you only need a drop of Jedi blood?
But they went down such a stupid road there, because if you can just put more Jedi blood into somebody, then it's not that important that Anakin had the most midichlorians. Why don't they just murder
him
and put it into Yoda?
General Grievous couldn't use the Force. That he just his body was like Force ridden.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I guess that's why you didn't. Because if he could use the Force, you would have seen him doing fucking Force shit.
My body's a Force ridden.
Mark's just another guy bitching about the prequels.
I can just survive outer space. I'll bitch about it. I changed the original ones later too. No. What? Okay.
And Mark takes the lead in the podcast.
At the end of... apologies to everyone who is not on the same page in this conversation. This when they came out with the DVDs, at the end of Return of the Jedi, the picture of old Anakin Skywalker young Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah,
and
bullshit.
I can put up with every other change except that one, because it completely violates the entire premise of the 6 movies before it, because the whole point of that story is that Anakin Skywalker can be redeemed before he dies. But if he dies and comes back as his last human self, as young Anakin, then he was never redeemed. Fuck you, George Lucas.
Oh, man.
You shat in the mouth of my childhood dreams.
Wow. Oh, Jesus, Mark.
That's graphic. He shit in your childhood dreams' mouth? So somebody had to hold your childhood dreams down. Open the mouth and hold it open as George Lucas.
And what if he
slowly pulled down his Wranglers?
If he didn't have to go, he'd just be sitting there for a while.
Untucked his flannel shirt.
And
squeezed out a giant shit into the mouth of your childhood dreams.
Before,
that is graphic.
Before
Mark.
Pulling up what I assume are Star Wars underpants. Lucas has to wear a lot of Star Wars shit, like when he's just around the house, right?
He always wears plaid shirts and Wrangler jeans.
But you think like he's just
Levi's?
Like when he's just hanging around his place, you think he has like a ratty old too big Star Wars t-shirt that he wears?
One can only hope.
I think what he wipes his ass with, really. Instead of toilet paper, he
uses Star Wars merchandise.
Yeah, like old Jar Jar Binks shirts nobody bought. Or like those salacious crumb extra extra large shirts that didn't really sell very well.
I don't know why they thought they were going to sell so many of those.
I really wish
a lot of personality.
They should make an extra extra large shirt with a salacious crumb like on the bottom, so that you can lie on your couch and it'll look like salacious crumb is on your tail.
I wonder if anybody made a Max Rebo Band shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the
I guarantee you can find it. I guarantee it.
Well, it would be like Max Rebo World Tour.
Max Rebo. I think there is a shirt like that. Exactly like
on
that.
On the back, it'll
Max
say.
Max Rebo's the blue guy in Return of the Jedi.
It'll say, like,
on the back, the blue it'll elephant say, guy?
Like, yeah, all their tour dates.
Yeah, it'll have all their tour dates and locations, so it'll be like Cloud City, a Noet system.
I'm sure it exists. You know, I feel like so many
tickets,
Star Wars
400 credits.
Things exist.
They do.
Yeah.
It's like anything can
Kobe.
Be.
Nice.
Right. Made it in the garbage can.
That was, you threw some Pepsi tea back there.
I did. Delicious, nutritious Pepsi tea back.
It's like fucking an alien.
Ties into our theme surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Is that the new sponsor?
You'd like that commercial, Cloud.
Pepsi Teabag.
Oh, yeah. I'll do a Pepsi Teabag each week and make them sound great.
It's hard to
No, I mean, I did. I did my ad already this time, and it wasn't that great, but they'll be better, because I love Teabag.
Pepsi.
Or Throw-Bee.
Throw-Bee.
So we Not talked through. About we talked about aliens. We talked.
Did you guys
about...
see Star Trek? Do you guys watch Star Trek?
I saw Star. I don't get Star Trek.
I actually I love really
you what
enjoyed...
don't even get about Star Trek?
I just don't get why it's good.
Yeah, why? I. You know what? I've barely watched any Star Trek either.
Dude, Star Trek's
more no, no, no. That's not fair to Star Trek. It's just the what it does. Like what's like the theme of Star Trek. Doesn't appeal to me. Like how the. Like they always have, because what is it? The guy in the red shirt always dies. There's like there's always something like something weird like that where from the first series.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm following.
And so I didn't watch the first Star Trek, so it's lost on me. The campiness.
There is a measure of camp, but they also use sci-fi to tackle modern day issues.
Yeah,
and they also. Have really rich characters that you get to know for a while, and all of their wants and needs intertwine, and they build a universe where you just, you know, get to really know that crew of that ship. But then you also introduce whole races of people, and all these new races of people have different beliefs, and you see how those interact, and what that does, and then also in the next generation, they explore so many cool stuff with the holodeck. The holodeck is the greatest writer's excuse in the world. The holodeck, because they could do like full episodes that were like film noir. They did full Sherlock Holmes episodes where like Captain Picard was Sherlock Holmes and like Lieutenant Worf was Watson or some shit. or maybe it was Geordi, I don't know. It was. But, like, they would... It was all sorts of shit. They could do anything.
It
was so funny.
I wish the holodeck was real. How fun would that be?
Oh, God. You could do anything. And they would go so deep. They did, like, Macbeth. They did... They did so many wonderful things.
If you die in the holodeck, do you die in real life?
It depends if the safety precautions are turned on or off.
Yes!
Nerd! Yes! Damn it, you nerds.
I've distanced myself from Star Trek because I feel like there's just so much to learn, and like all I hear about is like you know the Trekkies and the language and
you don't have to go that deep, but it's super fun.
It's Cloud, you wanna start watching Star Trek like from the very beginning?
Oh wow!
Because I haven't seen it either.
If
you start from Next Generation,
Next
Generation.
No, you gotta start. I'll start at the top with you.
I did that a while ago.
If someone tells me that it's really good and it's like worth it, then yeah, I will.
I can't say
there are a lot of people that have problems with Star Trek rules. I have problems because the first season's on Netflix.
Oh, really? So I can do this?
Yeah, and it's like the very first season. I tried watching like 3 episodes because I had just seen the J.J. Abrams movie, which is awesome.
Yes.
I wasn't crazy about it.
And I was like, well, I really like these characters from the movie that I just saw. I want to see more of these characters. So I tried watching the first 3 episodes, and it's a chore because of the way television has evolved.
Yeah,
it's just like it's not the same. I don't get 70s television. Yeah, yeah.
If you start with the Next Generation, I think you'll be good.
Yeah, the pilot where they're at Farpoint and they deal with Q, who's so cool. Q is such a fun character.
Is he the one who has magic powers?
Yeah, essentially, he has like crazy magic powers that.
Know what I watched of Star Trek Voyager? I saw some episodes of
with Tuvok, who's an ISU alum.
Yes.
Tuvok went to our college.
It had that one chick, that Borg chick.
Isn't the Borg chick, Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan
it was married to a dude that wanted to run for governor here in Illinois, Jim Ryan. And I remember he had to stop running for governor. He had to drop out of the race because... Like, it got out that he and Jerry went to these sex clubs.
Yeah, I remember
Amsterdam,
that. Yeah.
And they like, went to fuck parties.
That's awesome.
Huh. And so, like...
I totally let that guy run.
And so, like,
you got to actually think about for a moment, and the news would put it together because they would show pictures of them. So, and it would always be Jerry Ryan with her kick-ass Borg thing, Jim Ryan, and then like an Amsterdam fuck club, and you were like, so this dude was banging the Star Trek broad with like a bunch of people, so like maybe I could wander into a fuck club with the half Borg chick. Oh, that'd be a story.
So I'm in this fuck club, right?
Yeah. Yeah, dead one.
You ever seen Star Trek Voyager? Oh, yeah, he's got that one chick, right? The chick, right? So I walk in there. My governor and the chick. Oh, man.
Did you get both?
No, man, no.
Star Trek's pretty neat.
I never got into Star Trek as a kid because I always did Star Wars, but I also
you can do both.
Yeah, but I instead was doing Star
One's
Wars
better
and
than
comic
the other.
Books. So like I got my science fiction mostly from like comic books. And just recently, because we were talking about Battlestar Galactica, the Cylons being humans, there was just recently, and Gustavo read this too, it's called this Secret Invasion.
Oh god.
Which got a lot of time for this.
Oh, I meant to read that. I forgot what it was about, but that was supposed to be pretty highly recommended, right?
It's very good art. It's a pretty cool story. It's the same idea where Marvel's way of fixing their universe is by saying, oh, like a long time ago, the Skrulls, who are like the resident alien group, one of the main
shape-shifting aliens.
Yeah, who are like super strong. they had like kidnapped a bunch of Marvel superheroes and you didn't know who they were, and it had been done in like the 60s. They were like, yeah, this has been like this since the 60s, and you didn't know. It's like, oh, has Spider-Man always been a Skrull? Because they have had that clone thing and they're trying to fix that, so I wonder, like, blah blah blah.
So essentially they said, like, all, you know, those comics you enjoyed and loved and are your cherished memories, they're all aliens and they're gonna kill you. It's like the Skrull invasion opened my childhood's mouth and just shattered. Second.
Nice. But that's mostly where I spent
that's
my
sci-fi.
That's such
a combo, though.
So wait.
Yeah. The
so,
shape-shifting
but
super
wait
strong
a, wait
aliens.
A goddamn minute. I understand your bitching about this. I understand it. Yes, they are shitting on your childhood.
Childhood dreams.
Am I not right in saying this? Don't they do that with comics every fucking 20 years?
They do. Yeah.
Like,
no,
that's just what they
before
do.
That, man.
Why
they don't
do
it every 20
so
years.
So, like, how mad can you really get? They've killed people and revived them.
Yeah,
I get that, though. But
why can't you think of a different way?
Like, why can't we just live with the universe that they've provided?
Well, because in comic books, the reason they stay serial is because nothing can ever change. When they change things, they start reminding the readers that these comics aren't timeless. That that Peter Parker would essentially be 60 years old by now, and not being able to be the same Spider-Man that you knew and grew up with. So they have to never change. So you always have to keep going back and be like, oh, that thing where we killed Captain Marvel, that can't happen anymore because he wants to be alive again. Like, you have to keep going back and doing the Skrull thing. It's great.
They can find a different way to do it, though.
You want magic? Because you like magic.
What about
the Phalanx Covenant? Or, like,
that other thing.
Or Peter Parker.
What I feel it is, it's like they tried it. Like, this is, it's like Spider-Man Clone Wars.
Yeah.
When he had, like, oh, we had all, everything changed. And
Scarlet
then like,
Spider.
Exactly. Man. And it was stupid, and they're like, okay, that was dumb. There. Everyone was clones, doesn't matter, they're all dead. Everything's back to where it was, so let's keep doing it.
Regurgitating.
And so, it's a cop, like you said, a cop-out.
So is there, like, one comic book that'll come out that everyone will be like, oh, dude, you should probably read this, it turns out they were all clones.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just, like, totally one issue of a series?
Well, it's like a whole, no, well, I mean...
Usually, they'll make a mini-series
to
do it.
Usually what they do. They...
Well,
they milk it.
Yeah, a lot of storylines tend to span several episodes.
Yeah, What If Comics recently made a comeback and then they
You know that, right, Clap?
What If? I was just thinking, have you guys ever read Why the Last Man?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, considered sci-fi. It's, like, post-apocalyptic. apocalyptic.
I call that sci-fi. Yes.
Yeah, it's technically sci-fi. It's a very, very good story.
If you have not read it, you need to read Why Last Man. The premise is that all men on Earth are gone. They all suddenly died except for one, Yorick, and his monkey. Ampersand. And
Ampersand.
His name's Ampersand. Awesome.
Really?
Yorick is, he's in a, like, he's the last man alive, and he's an escape artist.
He's like a magician.
Yeah. Cool. The last guy alive is a magician and can get out of like traps and shit.
His girlfriend is in Australia, like studying abroad. So he's like trying his girlfriend. He's trying to like stay away from like evil bitches and like.
So women are still alive.
All women are.
And they just
want to
fuck the shit out of him or something?
Once in a while that'll happen.
Yeah, he like wears a gas mask sometimes and he stays kind of on the DL.
He wears a gas mask to like, what, pretend that he's... To not give away that he's a man?
He's like
Mulan rules?
Yeah.
Just like Mulan rules, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a future comic that runs by Mulan rules.
It is in the future.
These comic books are awesome.
All right,
it's very
all right.
political and social read commentary. That. I think it's like 10 books. It's aw. It's so good.
It's aw.
It's aw.
Be well. I think you owe it to yourself to read it.
Scott gives out an exasperated sigh.
I'm not really into comics. I'm like, I loved it.
Cloud, you're the new lord.
How much money?
Just stave it. You're just staving off the inevitable ad that's about to happen.
Hey, Cloud.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Cloud.
Hey, what?
How much are those comics? Just say $10,000 or more.
I think they're... over $10,000. I know it's kind of pricey, but like,
Those all on your credit card?
God.
Yeah. It's kind of crappy. I'm in a lot of debt.
Oh, Cloud. Then I know exactly who you could call. Legal Helpers Debt Resolution.
Really?
Legal Helpers Debt Resolution will guarantee to negotiate down your credit card debt of $10,000 or more.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I have more comics then.
Oh, man. No wonder you're in debt.
What a great customer for Legal Helpers Debt Resolution.
Just make sure to call them. You tell them that Octavarius sent you.
Well, what's the phone number?
Oh. Well, Matt.
Huh?
I was wondering if you could, you know... do that jingle they're singing round the globe.
Round the globe? Yeah, as long as we start heart and soul. 866-963-2354. Legal Helpers Debt Resolution. LegalHelpersDR.com. I'm not going to say anything controversial this week.
You're going to get to an apology.
Boy, I'm hungry for some sort of...
Pop chips! Sorry.
There's
Pop chips.
Pop chips, make your mouth, there. Not your hands.
No one shit in your mouth with pop chips.
Pop chips, as you know, are the chip that are popped instead of fried, which is bad for you, and baked, which is actually kind of okay for you. Pop chips come in a variety of flavors, many of which will activate your gag reflex.
But the barbecue's really good.
Barbecue's, it's all right.
Well, I mean, okay. It's a chip.
I'd rather eat Lay's.
Pop chips, it's food.
So next time you're looking for a snack and the bar is set low enough to tiptoe over, reach for some pop chips. Pop chips.
Oh man,
I can't wait till that cease and desist comes. Stop advertising for us.
I'm treasuring the time I have left before Keith comes back from tour and has to wrench control of the pop chips ads.
Oh man,
although he does a stellar job at them.
Pop chips.
Dude, I'm excited for our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good show at Comedy Sports.
Yeah, starting Sunday, September 12th at 7 p.m.
929 West Belmont.
For all of our Chicago listeners, yeah. It's going to be awesome. You should come out and see us and say
and
hi to us.
We'll have openers.
It's intergalactic space party themed. So if you dress up in any way that would mean intergalactic space party, like a tinfoil hat or other things.
Or a Wookiee costume.
Yeah, or a Wookiee costume. You will get a discount of 30%.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Come to our show.
Come to our show. You know what? I just thought of this, too. If you're still hanging on at the end of this podcast, if you want, if you're familiar with Cleverbot at all, have a couple conversations with Cleverbot and save the responses. Send some good ones to us, because I know you can have some really fun conversations with Cleverbot. If you come across a good conversation, send it our way to info@octavarius.com, OctaVarius.com. And maybe we'll read them on, we'll reenact Cleverbot conversations on the
air.
Oh,
that'd be so fun. That'd be awesome. We should do that for sure.
Yeah, totally do it, because now I'm excited for it. Anyway, that's the podcast.
I want to be Cleverbot, I call.
good, Cleverbot. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Check back every Monday for a new episode. Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, what a podcast.
That was a good one.
Everyone.
I love Robot.
Hey, Scott, no! No!
Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.